Welcome back. Welcome, my friends, the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys have another terrific day today. Hope you guys are enjoying all the podcasts that are updated on the podcast show at browershow.com. And you guys are enjoying the YouTube account. So we do the live feed on there every single day. And I know I don't get to all the comments on there because a lot of times you guys kind of start your little own, like, ecosystem of comments. You kind of start talking to each other, which is fine. It's cool. Great. I love it. And sometimes you guys ask health questions, which I don't mind answering the air.
Well, I don't mind them talking to each other, but are they really listening to us when they do that?
Some people put some very interesting, relevant comments. And if you guys got a health question that is relevant to answer on the show, I'll be happy to answer it. If it's a complex one, I need you guys to email me, because if I have to go into detail or do research, I can't spend a lot of time trying to answer a question on the show that takes 5 or 10 minutes. It may be a very in-depth question.
You can. We don't have time to do it, though.
That's what I said. Just email it to me. Yeah. Email to me. Then I'll answer. But
and I'm going to say something, and this is kind of like, well, I'm trying to be as nice as I can. You know, if you've got a 40-page email you want to send us with 400 questions, don't expect us to answer anything but, oh, well. I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, this will take us 2 days to answer. And I know a lot of you like to do that. I get those. And I always say, well, I'm sorry, I call the office. I just don't do that. And let me explain to you why. If I get 200 emails a day and everybody sends me a 40-page questionnaire,
nothing gets done.
No, I mean, I can't physically do it. And you think, well, what do you mean you can't do it? Well, and I'm not saying this is true, because sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. But the most of the time when somebody does that, they don't even order product. I mean, they've never ordered product.
And this is why
That means they don't support the show.
Right. This is why on the show, we have the health articles at the top, where we answer an enormous amount of questions in great detail with every topic that usually comes up. This is one of the reasons why I have Harrison write these articles, from plant-based energy with purple sticks to dihydroberberine to new studies show you rethinking supplements to vitamin D. I mean, if you could pretty much, it's relevant and you can think about it, there's probably an article we've written on it. And guys, this is free content. I'm not even charging for this. So feel free to go through this and look at this. There's a study that I'm going to cover today in a few minutes. I'm going to get back to it, though, discussing what's going on with essentially these equity firms, these massive equity firms, these massive companies that are being used like proxies, like Procter & Gamble,
you know,
to buy up companies, BlackRock.
Two-time, you know, Congressional Medal of Honor winner, General Smedley Butler from World War I.
Yeah.
He wrote a book, War's a Racket.
War's a Racket, yep.
And in it, he basically went into detail on how the people who don't do anything make all the money. In other words, he's talking about the international banking communities. He's talking about the Rothschilds. And he said it's so unfair how they buy up everything and use everything, then charge us for everything, and basically make all the money and just keep the money and sit on the money. And then give it to their relatives.
Well, they never produce anything.
Their firms produce product after they get bought up. They don't start anything.
Right, correct.
They wait for somebody to go in and put a whole bunch of money and sweat equity into something, and then they buy it up because they realize the cash flow value.
Well, they buy it up using the manipulated financial market that only they have access to. Mm-hmm. And, for example, the 40-to-1 ratio, yeah, as far as with banking, mm-hmm, where they go in.
Fractional reserve banking.
They've done this, and it's all the way back to the biblical times, the little hat folks. They figured out they could do this, and if they keep it all in house with their own friends,
Babylonian money magic, it's called.
Like I'm not going to cover today's. We're going to detail it, but I mean, as far as 40-to-1 in a bank, you put in, say, you got $1 million in your life savings and cash in the bank, and they're paying you 2-3% interest now, which is, it's garbage again. And they go in and they have the legal ability, because they write the banking laws, to loan $40 million on your $1 million.
That means out of nothing.
Out of nothing. It's Fugazi. It's Fugazi. It's not in the elemental chart. It doesn't exist. It's not real. It's just digital. And then they go in and loan that $40 million out. It's 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12% interest between mortgage loans, auto loans, whatever else they want to do. And so they end up making millions and millions and millions of dollars in interest a year off that $40 million, based off your $1 million that's in savings. And they go, oh, well, we're being generous. You know, you got yours locked up in a CD. We'll give you 4%.
4%, 2%.
We're gonna give you $40,000 a year in interest on your $1 million. We're being generous. While they go in and they're making $5, 6, 7, 8 million in interest off the money that they're loaning off your cash. Mm-hmm. That's how money magic exists. That's how it works. And then what they do is they take that money they make off the interest, because where the interest is the only money that's actually real that they make. And that's money that people pay in on interest from sweat work on paying off their loans.
And the crazy part about it is they've been thrown out over 100 countries, these Babylonian money magic bankers. Correct. They've been thrown out of 100 countries. Oh, more than, actually, it's more than that over the last two millennia. And because people get so sick of it, because once the country gets so enslaved to them through debt, through this basically sorcery is what it is, they end up, you know, saying, get out. We've had enough of it. Just get out. Go to the island of Madagascar. Have fun. You guys just sodomize each other to death.
That was rough, dude.
Because the majority of them are gay. Let you know that. And you guys go cheat each other. Oh, that's right. They're not allowed to cheat each other. But they can cheat us and kill us, by the way. They don't care. But, you know, the craziest part about it is that, you know, this is the group that runs the planet through money magic. And the sad part about it is this is not something. They don't worship our God. They don't do that. God would never allow this. He forbid it. Jesus forbid all this usury. So did God. What it is, they worship their snake god, Ein Sof, which is a Kabbalist god, and it's run through an organization primarily globally called Chabad. You think, well, no, it's not. Gosh, just do the research. And that's why Henry Ford always said, you dig deep enough under the rock, you'll find these guys. You know, Smedley Butler called them out. Everybody who digs into it deep enough calls them out. In fact, you know, Prescott Bush tried to overthrow Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was a communist, you know, using Smedley Butler to stage a coup d'etat against him. This is Prescott Bush, Senator Prescott Bush, the father of George H., the grandfather of George W. And basically, he's the one who they tried to hire to come in, who testified before Congress that this was a coup d'etat against the United States government because they had had enough of the communist influence coming in, and they wanted to stop it, and they were going to install a fascist government in the United States. Just thought I'd mention that. And that's why he was charged, Prescott Bush, with Trading with the Enemies Act. A sitting senator, by the way. Kind of crazy.
But this is what I want to dive into, because I've had a lot of people ask me this question in the last couple of days about Thorne, which has basically been a large supplement nutraceutical company over the years that's been pretty good as far as I'm trying to keep the raw ingredients fairly decent from what I've seen. Never personally worked with them, but I heard positive things about them in the past. I don't promote them. I don't use them. But again, it's another company that's been bought up by Procter & Gamble. Procter & Gamble, could you do me a favor real quick, because I pulled it up earlier. Find me the top shareholders of Procter & Gamble real quick.
I'm sure you've already done it.
I don't even have it pulled up.
I don't have to.
I already know what it is.
BlackRock, State Street, or Vanguard.
Yeah. And what happens is now Procter & Gamble just bought Thorne up for a $3.8 billion cash deal. They're expected to generate roughly $650 million in sales a year. That's what they're showing. P&G already includes a portfolio such as New Chapter, Metamucil, Align Probiotic, and I've had like four or five people email me about this topic in the last week. This is why I had to write this article, because they know we use a product called Turmeric Force from New Chapter.
And it was mostly made in Germany. I'm not sure now.
From my knowledge and the lab reports that I can get from them all the time, is that they still use the same quality. They basically use
extraction.
Liquid nitrogen extraction on them when they do it. There's no chemicals used with the turmeric. Liquid nitrogen extraction made out of Germany. To my knowledge, from the reports that I have seen, they're basically legally binding, they still use the same quality. But now if you guys have noticed, there's a reason why I'm carrying less and less other companies' products now. Pretty much getting away from it at all, except for a few major key products that I can't manufacture any better. This is the reason why. Procter & Gamble, used through BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, is buying up most of the major nutraceutical companies that have gone up in sales over the last 10 years. This is one of the reasons why we thank you guys so much for supporting Health Masters. We are one of the last true, pure, raw supplement companies that has no connections to the banking cartel. We have no investors. We have no equity firms. We have no, as far as any shareholders, it's me and Dad. That's it. Now, we could very easily, if I wanted to, because I get this all the time. I get people contacting us, equity firms that want to loan us an enormously large amount of money. Do it all the time. They want us to expand. They want us to do this. They want to do all these different states. And we could do it. But what's going to happen is it's eventually going to dissolve the company.
Well, they're going to end up owning the company.
They're going to end up owning the company. This is what they do every single time. It sounds great. They come in. They start doing all this investment. They start doing 10, 20, 30, 40% of the company. It starts exploding in sales. Then they come in and do basically a hostile takeover at some point. That's always how it happens every single time.
I had a friend of mine. He started a nutraceutical company. Good product. And he sold it for $60
million. Yeah.
Okay. And then they turned around and built it for about 4 years and sold it for about $4
billion.
Billion. And he was so upset. I talked to him. I said, you know, you sold it for $4 billion. He said, I know. I should have waited. And but the problem is he would never could have sold it for $4
billion. No.
Because they do it with the inside trading with the other companies, and they allow the banks to come in and finance and leverage it out. Now, a lot of times what they'll do, and I've seen this over and over again, these vulture capitalists is what we call them. Yep. Or you can call them little capitalists if you want. They come in, and they will take the company then. They will extend it way out as far as leverage, and then they will bankrupt it. And they'll bring all these investors in first. And they do it all legally most of the time. And then they extend it out. And pretty soon, you know, the equity of the firm doesn't cover the cost of maintaining the expenditures, and the loans to ratio to value ratio doesn't work anymore. And so they just punch it. Chapter 11, chapter 7, done, out. And they're finished with it. And all the little investors get hosed again. And it happens over and over and over and over again. I had a friend of mine had a restaurant. Exactly what happened to him. He had ended up having 140 franchises set up around the country. Was bringing in almost $1 billion. Austin knows the guy. Oh, yeah. Brought bringing almost $1 billion a year in generated revenue. They took it public. Little Hat Grives out of Chicago. The whole thing was a scam. They defrauded all their investors. Mm-hmm. They ended up going to prison for this one. And he ended up being, I mean, completely insolvent, bankrupt, selling used cars on a little lot on the side of the road. And he was flying around on private jets. That's how rich he was at one time. And they just took it all. And they seized it. And, you know, you think, well, how can they do that? Well, it's the same thing like we talked about Kathy Ireland the other day. You know, they bring these partners in, and these partners start making decisions, or these basically advisors, or how should you say, managers, or whatever the heck that was with Kathy Ireland. And pretty soon, she's doing $5 billion a year, and she's broke. And she signed all this paperwork thinking that she was doing what she was supposed to do, according to what she said. And basically, she gets trapped into this mess. And finally, she goes out for a child, decides to buy a house, and her credit was so bad, she couldn't even buy a house. Now she's bought a fishing boat, Austin, and she's baiting hooks, she said. You think, that can't be true. I'm just telling you what I read. And so the reality is this. Be really careful on who you do business with.
Yeah.
You know, because if you do it with the wrong person, you know what makes me mad? And I see this in business all the time. You know, there's several different people you got to be careful with. You got to be careful with that guy that's too friendly. He's too nice. He tells you whatever you want to hear because he wants all the chips. He wants everything. Now, he's not telling you he wants everything. He's telling you how fair he's going to be with you.
That's exactly right.
He's lying to you.
And how it's going to make you an insane amount of money, and he's going to work his butt off to make sure you grow, and he's going to do it for pennies on the dollar on his end.
Well, no, I'm telling you.
No, that's what it always is.
So if it sounds too good to be true, they're scamming you. I'm just letting you know that. And I have had that happen to me several times in business, and I've learned. Austin's had it happen to him several times now. Mm-hmm. And the problem is, once this happens to you a few times, you get to the point where, like, I don't trust you. Well, why don't you trust me? Well, I don't know you. I've known you for 2 weeks. How can I have trust? I can build trust with you.
No, sometimes you've known them for 10 years.
Yeah. Sometimes
you know them for a long time.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to look at their background, though, their pedigree, what their basis general behavior consists of, what they've done with other companies. One thing you can always ask somebody is, if you're doing all this, show me the last three companies you've massively expanded their sales.
Show me testimony letters that I can contact.
Yeah, give me some references you can call.
The one guy that Austin's referring to, I asked him after we got involved with him. I said to him, where are your testimonial letters? I want to call the last three companies.
References? I don't need a testimonial letter. I want a direct reference I can call that he can verify everything.
But he couldn't do it. He
can't do it.
No, he couldn't produce any of them. And so the other day I had somebody call me up, wanted me to borrow money, which is ridiculous because I don't know why they think I can loan them money. And I said, look, I'm
going to go to a bank.
That's what I told her. Her husband had died, and she's a nice lady, but I told her, I said, I need the last 5 years' bank statements. Now, listen, very careful. Write this down. I need the last 5 years of your bank statements. I need all your accounts payable and all your accounts receivable. I need the last 5 years of your bank deposits. I want to see the deposit tickets, and I want the last 5 years of the tax returns from your certified CPA, not something you put together. And you go, then the lady looked at me and goes, well, that's a lot of stuff. And I said, any bank's going to ask for the same thing. And I said, why haven't you gone to the bank? Well, obviously she had gone to the bank and they wouldn't touch her. Because everything's fugazi, like Austin said.
It just doesn't exist.
Well, no, what she needed was a loan to basically maintain her lifestyle. Now the whole company she had went under, and it's not my responsibility. And I don't mind helping her. I need to bring her a couple bags of food or something like that for her and her family. I don't have a problem with that at all. But some people, they try to maintain their lifestyle. Now, ladies, listen to me, and this is very important. If your husband's managing the finances and taking care of things and he starts to get sick, you make sure you know what he's doing. Yeah. And now don't be going out and buying stuff you don't need to impress people you don't know with money you don't have, with financing and stuff and giving out your savings and your life savings.
Maxing out credit cards.
Don't do all that. Be really, really careful. If somebody starts getting sick in the family who's a primary bread earner, everybody needs to cut back. I mean, cut back. I mean, I'm talking skeleton cut back. I mean, go back to just, you know, chicken and vegetables. Don't stop the eating out. Stop the vacation. Stop the rest. I knew this one lady completely broke, you know, cleaning houses, and that's a great profession, but she just had no money at all. She decided to go on a two-week vacation with her son to Alaska.
Yeah.
It just happened. You know, I mean, unbelievable. I mean, you know, just, and I said to her, I said, well, maybe you don't need to do this. Doesn't register. Doesn't click. Because most women, not all women, most women operate from emotion. Oh, it looks pretty. Let's buy it. Okay, great. I'm happy it's pretty. You don't need to buy it. All right?
Buy it. Okay.
Oh, you know, it's on sale. That's the big one. It's on sale.
Everything cheap is on sale now.
And, you know,
quality's gone downhill.
You know, I knew this one lady in Tallahassee. Every time something went on sale, she'd go out and buy it. Maxed out her credit cards every month. Husband went nuts. Couldn't believe it. Pay off the credit card, max it out the next month. I mean, pay off the credit card, max it out the next month. And he finally said, I can't deal with this. He ended up divorcing her. He said, I can't deal with this. He said, I'll never do anything with my life. I'm going to be broke my whole life because you can't stop spending money. Now, mind you, some men do the same thing. They got to have new golf clubs. They got to go on vacation. They got to have that new car they can't pay for. They got to have that boat. And the two happiest days in a boat owner's life, the day they buy it, the day they sell it. And, you know, boats are a nightmare. I mean, one day I'm out here, I had a fuel pump go out in a boat, ski boat. And the tank's full. And I'm having to open up the tank or reach down inside the doggone tank to get the fuel pump out. I hope I'm going to get a spark. I got fuel in it. You blow up. You know, and it was a $40 fuel pump. The boat place wanted like $800 to change it out. Well, I understand now. Why? They have to drain the tank so they don't blow everything up. And so be very, very, very careful when you start buying stuff that you don't need with money you don't have. If it flies or it floats, you lease it for the day. I'm done. Forget
it. As you need it for an event or you need it for a birthday or something like that, you want to do something cool.
Just keep the maintenance away.
Yeah. This is something I want to cover. I'm not done with this yet on this topic.
Oh, I thought you were done.
No, this is something that says, what happens to specialized formulas? This is the question, and Harrison wrote this for me, because a lot of people asked me a while back ago, and I'm just going to answer this, right? I'm very candid. What happened to the turmeric black seed oil formula from New Chapter? This is my perfect example of what starts happening. They discontinued that product about a year and a half ago. Why? Because it's a specialized formula that certain people like, but it didn't hit the margins that they needed because they're owned by Procter & Gamble. This is one of the reasons why we have so many really cool products that outcompete everyone else because nobody else is willing to do it, like the Purple Sticks. That is an unbelievably expensive product to manufacture. Why? Because every scoop's got a gram of straight acai raw berry in it. We don't cut anything. We keep it as clean and as tight as we can, and we use really high doses. And this is Harrison. I asked him specifically to cover this topic for me. Give me four on this. One reason people become loyal to certain supplement companies is that those companies are willing to make products that don't necessarily appeal to everyone. For instance, a specialized company might use a more expensive patent ingredient because the absorption data are stronger. Or it might offer an unusually high or low dosage because a particular group of customers want it. It might not also keep a niche product in a catalog. They'll keep one despite modest sales because practitioners continue to use them. It may even introduce an obscure nutrient years before the general public has heard of it. Kind of like dihydroberberine. Still, a lot of people don't even know what DHB is. They've only heard of regular berberine. Well, dihydroberberine is unbelievably more expensive than regular berberine. But I have been pushing and talking about that product for years now because of what it does. And it's so good for the cardiovascular system. And it's so good for the blood sugar. It's so good for burning body fat. You know, there's a lot of products that I don't make hardly any money on because the raws are so expensive. That's why they're so hard to find them in the way that we make them. And it says right here, it says, on the contrary, a multinational consumer company evaluates products within a much larger organization. Manufacturing efficiency, inventory turnover, supply chain simplicity, margins, potential, and ability to sell a product at scale naturally become part of the equation, as well as their shareholders. They have fiduciary responsibility to their shareholders at Procter & Gamble. They have to make X amount of margin, X amount of money every single quarter. They have to show it, or else basically BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard goes, why aren't your profits high enough on this company? We're investors. We essentially just put $3.8 billion in Thorn. Why in the world is it making X amount of money? So the company has to come in now and completely restructure the way it functions between raw ingredients, between manufacturing, between inventory, between niche products and specialized formulas. They have to go, what are our losses on here? What are the top 10 products that we can cut off immediately now? And what are the top 10 products that we can cut our ingredient quality down and we can increase our margins up? Now, I'm not claiming that that's happening with Thorn. I'm not claiming that any of that's going on. What I'm claiming is this, that you got to look at a lot of the stuff. Now, give me camera four on here. Consolidation affects innovation. Exactly what I just talked about. When you have small supplement brands, we can afford to pursue ideas and basically do different things. However, the problem is I can't compete against Procter & Gamble. You can't. They made $86 billion last year. So if they want to go in and buy up a company to compete directly against us, they'll go in and make their margins through the roof because they'll go buy an enormous amount of product. And remember, these same companies are also in bed with the tech companies that run the algorithms on all the social media platforms.
And don't forget, Austin, there's a reason we're not on Amazon anymore.
Now,
listen to me. This is really important that you get this. About 4 or 5 years ago, they contacted us. They wanted to list. They wanted to know all of our suppliers, all of our vendors, all of our product manufacturers.
Everything.
All of our raw ingredients. Now, that's complete proprietary information. Now, there's only one reason that a company would want that, because they want to produce the same product and compete against you.
Yep.
Now, that's the only reason they would do it. Now, whether they would have done that or not, we told them no. We said absolutely not.
Well, we fought them on it. They pulled us off.
And they pulled us off Amazon because we were using it just as a marketing tool. But they wanted to know where we got our stuff. Apparently, we had enough algorithms in there that they wanted to figure it out. Now, and I've seen them do this over and over again. All of a sudden, they bring another competitor in, mm-hmm. and that's owned by little hat people. And they bring another competitor to drain another competitor. Pretty soon, we saw it with the toothpaste that we used to carry.
Yeah.
Pretty soon, they're bringing the toothpaste in below our wholesale cost on Amazon. And the problem with it was that company wasn't making any money on it. And so what ended up happening, they went out of business.
They went out of business. It was
a great toothpaste. It was called Kiss My Face. And it was a great company, toothpaste. They're gone. They're done.
What he said was, to explain it, they were going in, and I was trying to buy up toothpaste in bulk because everybody loved it. The problem is, I went on Amazon one day to price check them, and Amazon was selling the toothpaste cheaper than my bulk wholesale was. So if I called them up and said, hey, I need 500 tubes of toothpaste, and it would say, $5 a tube. Well, I go on Amazon, and it's $3.99 a tube. And I called them up and I said, "I this isn't working, guys. Your numbers aren't math. Math isn't mathing." I said, "Amazon's selling it cheaper than you're selling me in bulk." Well, Amazon's our number one distributor, so we have to give them better pricing. I said, "Well, they at least have to match MAP, guys." I said, "MAP's like $8 a tube. You got me like, it's not even coming close." Well, it doesn't matter. We can't tell them no. They told me this on the phone. They said, they're our biggest supplier. Sure enough, they went out of business because they were making like 10 to 20 cents a tube. I found out on a price sheet later on before the company went out. They're making like 10 to 20 cents a
tube. Can't cover overhead.
Nothing. So if they're selling it to Amazon, for $360, they were paying $350 to manufacture it. But they were selling 50,000 tubes. The problem with it is, at a certain point, it doesn't scale anymore. You can't make it. You can't cover overhead no matter how many tubes you produce because the margins are so razor thin. And then Amazon went in and undercut all the suppliers. So they took all us out. And this is going on all the time now. So understand when I tell you guys,
Amazon's giant retail monopoly.
That's all they are. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing. They work with these other companies.
Owned by little happy people.
This is why I told you guys, we don't have any investors. We don't have any private equity firms. And I get an enormous amount of offers every single year. And I won't touch them with a 10-foot pole because I know what happens. Go back and read all the way back with Henry Ford and what he talks about in it, with what these guys do, how they get in positions of investing. Once you take money from an investment company, they essentially own you. They do. And on a long enough time scale, they will always own you.
And you remember what they always do. There's always a clause that they can demand the money back within 30 to 90 to 60 days. And you sign it. And so let's say you're going to go ahead and expand and you have a company that's worth, let's say, $10 million. And they loan you $20 million against it.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, oh, that's great. So now you get to expand out.
Inventory, right.
So now you start doing great. You're making money. All of a sudden, boom, loans due. Well, the money's all invested. You don't have the money
anymore.
Money's in inventory. I'll say, well, too bad. Sucks for you. Sorry. We're going to take the company now. I saw it happen with a friend of mine. I can't give you any details. He manufactured the DVD systems that used to be in automobiles and the headrests and all that other kind of stuff. It's all wireless now. And I remember he had a friend of his who was his partner, and he wanted to buy his friend out. And his friend basically got X amount of dollars from this guy. And then all of a sudden he used part of that money that he was supposed to use for inventory, that was part of a credit line to buy his friend out. Well, guess what? They did exactly what I'm telling you to do. The banks found out he had done that. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And then they called him due. They called him due. He couldn't pay it. They seized the company and gave him a restraining order and prevented him even going back into his company again.
With the U.S. Marshals, didn't they? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I saw it happen. So these guys are ruthless. You got to remember, these are the guys that come in. Oh, hey, they shake your hand. They got this big smile on their face. They adjust a little black hat, and they look at you. And they go, we're going to take care of you. Yeah, they're going to take care of you, all right, right to the grave.
Remember, these are the same guys, the exact same groups that justify IDF doing headshots on children in Gaza for sport. And I'm not exaggerating on that. You can talk to defense contractors. They will tell you the exact same thing. This is why everybody in the U.S. military, if they're honest with you, especially in spec ops, especially in private contractors, they will tell you they hate working with IDF. This is how they act. They're like it all across the board. Their behavior doesn't change. Just the battlefield does.
They said that one of their attorneys said the other day that one little hat person is worth 10 million of the Gazans. Those are his words. 10 million. In other words, if one gets killed, they're going to kill 10 million of the other ones. That's their attitude. They're that arrogant because they really believe they're little gods. And I'm not going to go into detail with that, but you guys can just do some research on it. Yeah. By the way, I got to do something. Blood tests to predict Alzheimer's are causing confusion and distress. Now, I'm going to say something to you, and I said something a few weeks ago that got a lot of you guys really, got you really pissed off, all right? Now, I'm going to say it again, just to make sure if we maintain the pissed off state.
It's Wednesday. We could go for a good one.
No. And forgive my vernacular on that, but it really did. This whole thing with Alzheimer's has been linked to toxoplasmosis now. The studies are there. I posted them on the website. That's from the cat parasite, toxoplasmae, from cat feces that gets on your hands.
It's also tied into aluminum, too, though. Aluminum is a huge factor.
But the toxoplasmosis parasite eats the brain. And when it eats the brain, it leaves plaquing, which is scarring inside of the brain. That's what the studies are showing. So if you've got cats at home, now listen to me. You can get pissed off or not, whatever. Leave the cats outside. I'll never leave my cat outside. They keep them off the bed. Well, I can't keep them off the bed. Then keep them out of the bedroom. Keep the door closed. Do whatever you have to and be really careful with the litter boxes and make sure that you use gloves when you dump the litter boxes. I recommend if you have a cat, it's an outside cat. Period. And you think, well, that's my pet. No, don't be that person that feels as though that thing is your child. I've seen it over and over. I've seen relationships destroyed over dogs and cats. You think, well, Ted, I can't believe you're going here today. Well, I figure I'd just piss you off again. I'm telling you. if I can't tell you the truth, who's supposed to tell it to you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Alzheimer's now, all these tests they're doing to predict it, are causing all this distress and confusion because they're very inaccurate. Yep. And Austin's right. Aluminum chlorhydrate and antiperspirant deodorant on the armpits.
The deodorant, man. Stay away from the aluminum deodorant. I get it. Listen, we're in Florida. It's hot down here.
Use our deodorant.
Use magnesium deodorant. I'll say this. If you don't want to use a really high-quality magnesium deodorant, at least use some cheap deodorant without aluminum in it. If you're going to be stubborn and you don't want to take our product or use our deodorant, I'm being serious. The aluminum continues to plaque up. It basically builds up in the lymphatic system. Your entire underarm area, this is all lymphatic area. The aluminum is microscopic. It plugs the pores. It stops the pores from perspirating. Your body wasn't designed to have aluminum put into your pores to stop you from perspiring. Your body naturally perspires. It gets out toxins, helps cleanse the body. It works as lymphatic drainage. There's all these factors that God did for our bodies to make them so incredible. Stop using a compound every single day that plugs them up. There's ultimately great products, like I said, that we carry that work really good. And guess what? You may have to apply it a couple times a day. Oh, well, keep one in your backpack like I do. It's Florida. If you're saying, it's one time a day for 24 hours, I don't have to apply it, I don't sweat for an entire day. You really, really think that sounds healthy for your body? Just throw that out there.
Well, the University of Toronto years ago did a study, and they found that the people had Alzheimer's disease when they did biopsies on their brains had abnormally high levels of aluminum in the brain. And now you also get it through your olfaction. From breathing this crap they spray on us.
Yeah.
That's why we use the magnesium brain food, because the magnesium thionate gets into there and supposedly gets the stuff back out. Not making any claims. And so be really, 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 really careful, you know, with the stuff you're putting on your body. I mean, cosmetics are unbelievably toxic if you're not careful with what they put into them. They really are, especially stuff that contains aluminum. And they found abnormally high levels of aluminum in the breast cancer sites for women when they basically do biopsies. So
you got to think about it. With the mammary glands and the breast tissue and all that. You got the lymphatic system right.
Here's the thing I don't understand, and you guys explain this to me. Why are some of you, and thank you for the 3%ers, those of you who actually use our supplements and support the show, why are you some of you so doggone stubborn that you still eat pork? I'm asking you. and you still use aluminum chlorhydrate on a person with deodorants, and you still won't take a supplement.
Fluoride toothpaste.
You still use,
but I don't think we have many. There's nobody listening who uses fluoride toothpaste anymore. You can't live under a rock like that long.
Well, no, and somehow you're still eating white bread. The other day, I'm in Publix, and there's a big sign on the front of the car. It says, have your Wonder Bread this morning, and a big old thing called white bread. Do you realize there's like absolutely – take it apart, knead it up into a dough ball, and bounce it off the wall. I've done it. You really want that that stuff like a rubber ball. What is it going to do to your colon?
It does literally turn into a rubber ball.
No.
You do it start throwing.
I've done it. It bounces off the wall.
You can actually get it slingshot.
No. Why are you still eating this crap? If I tell you that the World Health Organization says the number one cause of cancer globally is pork consumption, and then I say the Bible tells you it causes cancer, and you still eat it, what does it take to make you stop? I don't know. It's been one of those great confusing things to my mind for the last 40 years. The same thing with aluminum chlorhydrate and antiperspirant deodorants. The same thing with fluoride and chlorine in the water. Why do you want to have to use a product that you have to filter out through your kidneys? I mean, why do you want to either use a filter or be a filter? That's just simple. And don't use plastic. We get all those microplastics in our doggone body now. If you get in my car with me, every time I leave a hotel, they'll say, would you like some bottled water? I say, yeah, give me 6 or 8 bottled waters. And I put them in the door. And what I do is when I pump diesel fuel or I pump gas, I wash my hands with the water. I don't drink it. It's nasty. It's got microplastics in it.
I got a topic.
No,
I got to
step away.
I'm curious where this is going. You know, yesterday I covered the topic on the executive order as far as with the task force reducing the vaccines. This executive order now also puts together a task force on safe to childhood vaccine, 90 days to produce a report that shapes the nation's childhood vaccine policy. After decades of ignoring legal requirements, the task force now is to evaluate and report on vaccine safety. I'm very curious on this because obviously I told you guys yesterday, this is a lot of deflection theater to push off what's going on now. Because again, as you guys saw 2 days ago, Israel did a massive bombing strip on Lebanon, targeted a ton of civilian houses again.
Well, they're taking Lebanon.
No, they're going to own Lebanon. That's what they already did with the Gaza Strip. Lebanon's next on the list. So, but all this stuff keeps happening over there, and now it's like it's completely being pushed out of the topic of media because he's getting so much flack. I mean, Trump supporters, Trump haters, everyone haters, nobody haters. Everybody's coming to the point now saying, what in the world is this completely going on? Every single day, the strait's open, then it's closed. It's open, then it's closed. They've been pinballing the oil. We already covered the article on that, how there's been hundreds of billions of dollars in the last few months that have already been made as far as in the oil sector with all the price manipulation. But now we've got a task force to show a vaccine safety report. So this is either my opinion. You got my opinion on this. This is one or two things are going to happen here. Either A, they're doing this to throw it in the media field right now for all basically the people that are health, you know, basically health-focused, that actually want to see this happen, and they're trying to get everybody to calm down with a win. And B, they're going to try to come out with some type of completely and totally manipulated report on it. Then they're going to come out and say, we've done the research in 90 days. We've determined now all these vaccines are all completely safe and all at one time, and they're going to try to put something together on it. Because what's odd to me about this is there is no research at all, and I talked about it yesterday briefly, there is no research showing safety efficacy with all these shots, especially in unison together at 2 months, at 3 months, at 6 months. There is no point in anywhere in scientific literature that shows what happens when a child gets a DTaP shot and an MMR shot and a hepatitis B shot and a chickenpox shot and all these shots in conjunction at one time. There's not even adult research. There's not even animal research. None. There's zero, guys. It doesn't exist. So when they put together the shot schedule, they did it on a approval rate of both or a singular shots one at a time. And even those were shoddy at best. And then they combined everything with the CDC because apparently the CDC knows best. Remember the same agency that worked with Fauci during the whole 2020 thing where they told you to get that thing in your arm that told you that you couldn't have more than 6 people in your home for a gathering. If you had a birthday with 7 people, most states were supposed to arrest you.
If you were out on the beach surfing by yourself.
Oh, paddleboarding.
They would arrest you.
Paddleboarding a half a mile out off the coast of California, you're paddleboarding by yourself because you want to just detox and enjoy yourself and get some fresh air. You're going to be arrested because how dare you peasant go outside. But if you want to have 10,000 people show up for a George Floyd protest and stand around shoulder to shoulder protesting how bad the government is.
Without masks.
Without how bad law enforcement is. Oh, you could do that because it was, you know, protest, you paddleboard by yourself, you're getting arrested. Oh, don't forget, if you actually decided to go to church, couldn't do that either. No, couldn't possibly do that.
I'm going to answer your question.
Okay.
Cambridge's black time-traveling professor and his many superhuman feats. That's the answer. You look at me like, what is Ted doing now? My brain works. Trust me on this. Running a single marathon is a great achievement. Running 30 marathons is a spectacular feat. Running 30 marathons in 35 days is something only a world-class athlete could achieve. No, they couldn't.
Yeah.
but running 30 marathons in 35 days and running the final nine of those marathons with a broken leg, that's an impossible feat that would require superhuman powers. But that's exactly what Jason Arday has claimed to achieve. But that's not all. Jason Arday's incredible feats aren't just limited to running nearly 240 miles on a fractured leg without medical intervention. He also claimed to have run 600 miles in 6 days on a treadmill without any evidence. Played both football and snooker at a professional level, and both was apparently taken out of context. Raised over $5.5 million for charity, can't make a single donor. Managed to go 15 years with barely a wink of sleep, and even appeared on the famous television documentary series 7-Up, which originally premiered 21 years before he was born. In other words, he was never on it. This is a story of Cambridge University's youngest ever black professor who was appointed as a professor of sociology and education in 2023. He was born in 1985 on a council estate in London, from Ghana. He overcame with many possible barriers. He was autistic, couldn't even speak until he was 11 years old.
What is this? Is this legit?
No, this is legit. This is Daily Mail. This is also, you know, Zero Hedge. I'm gonna post to the article again for you guys who haven't read it. Now, let me say something to you about this. Every stinking thing he says is a stinking lie. He's a pathological liar that never stops lying, but he was the youngest black professor ever in the history of Cambridge. So therefore, he is untouchable. Because Cambridge and their professors and their staff that brought them in have deemed it so. It's kind of like, you know, when you watch John Wick, don't let the kids watch it, and the guy decides to give him an extra hour before they kill him because he deemed it so. The head of the guy at the hotel. He deemed it so. So these Cambridge professors have deemed everything he said to be sacrosanct and untouchable, and everything's true.
You can't now, question it.
No, everything's a lie. Ah, this is the answer to your question. Same thing they do with vaccine research. Oh, this was done at Harvard. This was done at Yale. This is sacrosanct. They would never, ever compromise themselves. Yeah, they would for a $20 billion grant or $20 million grant or whatever they got. They'll compromise themselves every single day of the week in most cases. I'm not saying in every case, depending on the university, of course. But they believe that everything they do is sacrosanct. So they get on this ivory tower thing. This guy, this Cambridge guy, he ran nine marathons on a broken leg.
No, he didn't. I've broken multiple bones, including ankles.
I broke a foot.
You don't do it.
Okay?
You're not running nine marathons on a broken leg.
And so that's the answer. There's the answer. Once these groups deem it so, okay, then no one can. And they say in here, one of the comments is, why are you picking on him?
There you go.
You know, he has autism.
And he's black. You're racist now if you question it.
Well, no, and that's what they always do. And so it's like this. Barack Obama is an American citizen. BS, man. We all know that's not true. That's, by the way, short for bull slime. BS.
What about his Kenyan birth certificate? Oh, you're a racist. Actually, you're a neo-Nazi. Actually, you also hate grandmas. How dare you question this? I'm just asking a question. Maybe.
Joan Rivers says Michelle Obama's, you know, a tranny. And you go, oh, and all of a sudden she's dead. Yeah, that happened to look it up. And, you know, so you, when you say Barack Obama's gay and he's married to a tranny, huh, you can't say that. So the media that's controlled by the little hat people that control the investors, that control BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, they say what they're going to say, and they deem it so, and you're not allowed to question it. So what's going to happen with this whole thing now with this new executive order with Trump, the little hat people are going to come in, and they're going to say, we're taking this to court now. You can't tell us what we can and can't say about the shot schedule. Back into the courts it goes. And then they're going to say, oh, by the way, wait until Trump gets out. Wait until Kennedy gets out. And then we'll put it back the way it was. Yeah. They're so subtle and so slimy You know, they're always behind the corners working us up. That's what Henry Ford said. You dig under the rock deep enough, you find these clowns every single time. You think, it can't be every single time. Okay, it may not be every single time, but it's 90% of the time. It is. And the crazy part about it is you look at it, you got to find out who controls the money. That's how they do it. They come into the country, they set up a Federal Reserve Bank, they enslave the country with debt, with money magic, and suddenly they own the assets. Over and over and over again. So therefore, when they say, we will kill for sport, we will bomb Gaza, we will bomb Lebanon, there ain't a doggone thing you can tell us to do about it, because we don't listen to you, because we own the United States, because we own the debt. Therefore, they listen to us, because we made them our little, forgive the vernacular, they're our biatch. And just to make sure they were our biatch, we've got the Jeffrey Epstein files. And guess what? A whole bunch of these guys in Congress, just enough to make sure we get that voting edge, they're in our files. And we got videotape of them on, well, you know what they're doing. Bunch of perverts, and let's not forget them eating children. Let's not forget any of that stuff. Oh, we have the videotapes of that too. And you're like, wait a minute, this can't be this sick. I'm telling you, it's that sick.
Well, and then here's what happens too. Then suddenly you become very powerful or very rich. You become very successful. And you start saying Gaza is being blown up for sport because international bankers are taking it over. Or you say Lebanon's being taken over and Hezbollah, vast majority of it, are militia that are trying to fight back against the IDF invading force.
They're all militia.
Who said that recently? Tate Brothers said that. They're still sitting in Miami with no bond right now, being extradited back to the UK for alleged charges from 10 years ago that nobody can prove. By the way, they will not release them. They're in Miami still, being extradited. And now they just had an incident over the weekend. As you guys saw this, they just released tear gas in their holding cells where everybody was held at over an alleged riot, and they would not release them for medical treatment at all. Made them sit in the cell with tear gas basically in there for like hours on end. And then the attorneys came, and the attorneys couldn't even talk to them long enough. The tear gas was so bad. And they said, we will not release you. You cannot go on bond. You're being extradited to the UK.
I watched a movie the other night called From Here to Eternity.
Yeah.
Okay, great movie, old movie. And they had Frank Sinatra was in it, and he was a big mouth soldier. And he basically got... But he got in a big fight with the guy who was in head of the brig there that would lock people up. And it was Ernest Borgnine. And Ernest Borgnine said, sooner or later, you're going to show up in my jail. And then we'll see who's the boss. Oof. And boy, he beat him like a dog with a baton. I mean, it was awful. Finally, he escaped, and he fell out of the back of the truck. He escaped, and he died. And then Ernest Borgnine got killed. And the whole thing was like, when these guys get you behind bars, they can do whatever they want to do to you. And so, and that's what's happening to the Tate brothers. Now, I'm not saying that I like everything the Tate brothers stand for.
I'm not either. I'm not saying I agree with everything they say.
But
they've gotten very vocal about a lot of stuff with Israel last year.
Well, so did Charlie Kirk, didn't he? Remember what I said to you the day after Charlie Kirk died? You said, who did it? I said, Mossad did it.
IDF.
Period.
Yeah.
Done it. IDF did it. And I said, and now everybody else is saying that too, that has any kind of insight. Even your contractor said the same thing. All of this stuff is because they don't believe that they have to answer to any of the rules because they've got the Jeffrey Epstein files. That's why they just do what they want to do. And see, when you understand that, and you have to understand who rules you, who you're enslaved to, then you understand why they do what they do. And if you say too much, too fast, too soon, and you have a big enough audience, in other words, why we get shadow banned on YouTube all the time. Or we should have 5 million listeners right now, but we don't, because they won't let us. Well, they deemed it so.
That's why we kept everything. I try to keep everything. You guys know what we talk about. You know what we're saying. But there's certain things
I try
not to say as keywords, the algorithm. And this is one of the reasons why. With the subliminal messaging they put now and the manipulatory tactics they do with the media that we're talking about with this topic now, with the shot schedule, this is why, and listen to me real quick, guys, I want your attention on this. This is why it is so important to limit and monitor what your young children being exposed to on social media, on YouTube, on videos. And by all means, honestly, limit the heck out of social media or any of the platforms, not even social media if they're younger, on the tablets. Here's why, and I've told you guys this again. All the tech guys, when they've been interviewed, all the little hat tech guys, they say blatantly, I do not allow to have my kids do not have an iPhone. They're not allowed on social media. They don't have a tablet. They've all said this in unison because they know what they've built and they know what the building has done to the young generation, and they know that the Goyim children, which are the non-little hat children.
By the way, that's listed over 10,000 times in the Epstein files, that term.
Specifically. You can look it up if you don't understand what I'm saying on that. They specifically go after these young children now intentionally to wreck their brains. They know what's happening now with the generational, mind sludge that's being done to these children. It's brain rot. There's a video I'm going to show you guys, real short clip, because this guy explains it. I talked to you about this about 6 months ago as the study came out, and they actually did MRI tests on children, one of the largest studies in existence now on children while they use tablets, while they use social media, while they use electronic, you know, basically stuff like iPhones and tablets. And they found that it was massively draining the brain. It was basically reducing development. Here's the good thing about kids. Their brains are called neuroplasticity. They can recover really, really fast, especially with the right nutrients. The problem is now they're never getting that time or that mental break in order to do it. There's so much stuff they're being exposed to, and there's so much crap in the school system that they're being exposed to. It's literally brain rotting them. This is a video I want to play here. Oh, it's me. Ah, hey, guys. Thank you for all the comments on here as well. I just saw that more people. Yeah. But interesting. Let me show, I'll show you guys this video real quick here. This is what I want to show. All right.
One of the comments is, I don't want to be a pig.
I tell you, I get some wild comments on here. You guys are funny.
MRI scans should start to piss you off. The National Institutes of Health launched the largest study of childhood brain development ever run in the entire country. The study tracked 11,878 kids across 21 sites. Each child was placed in MRI machines and allowed to scroll and watch screens and just let the brain stuff do the brain stuff. And the results even shocked the researchers. Kids with 7 or more hours of daily screen time showed premature thinning of the cortex. That's the brain's outer layer that runs the thinking, the memory, the language, including the putamen, which is the reward center, and the prefrontal cortex, which handles impulse control. See, the same thing that makes a young brain vulnerable is the thing that lets it heal. It's still forming until age 25. Dopamine receptors can reset in about 90 days. So as quickly as developing a brain can be damaged by screens, it can heal.
And this is why they're pushing the screens on kids at all times. This is why they're constantly going in and they're constantly promoting this stuff. This is why, if you notice now, all the school systems, they don't use books anymore at all. There's two reasons for that. A, it's really easy to change digital material. It's a lot harder to change an edition on a book. And B, it's a lot easier to get children addicted on screens when they use them all day long, starting at age 4 and 5. And everything they read, everything they do is now on a screen that they're staring at, because their body becomes entrained to only know how to use those specific items, and they crave them. As he said, the dopamine receptors are extremely sensitive at that age. They can reset and cleanse and rebuild really, really well, but children are not given any amount of time now in order to allow their brains to heal and grow, because they're getting pushed all this screen time, all this social media, all this YouTube, all this brain rot. It's all bubblegum for the brain. TikTok, Instagram, 90% of it is just trash. It's not real. It's Fugazi. It doesn't exist. It's all a bunch of theater, AI, edited BS stuff that nobody even cares about anymore, but yet the brain's addicted to it and wants to get those little dopamine fixes. And when children get addicted to that at 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, it is unbelievably hard to break that cycle in a short amount of time. It needs to be done for longer lengths to allow the body to heal. So watch what kids are getting exposed to.
And also what happens is this. Now listen to me, and it's very, very important that you get this one right. When they don't interact with you, yep, from a communication standpoint, they can't interact with anybody from a communication standpoint. Exactly right. They'll sit around with their friends all day long on an iPhone.
Yep.
And not even bother talking to each other. And they lose the ability for proper interaction. So therefore, now they don't want to date. They can't date. They don't know how to date. They don't know how to communicate. And you think, well, that can't be true. It's true. They don't know how to even respond in an office setting when someone tells them to do something, because they can't get off their stinking phone. I know people. I have a dentist friend of mine here in Auburndale, and every day when the girls come to work, he has almost an entire female staff. Everybody has to put their cell phone in his office, in his basket.
Yeah.
Period.
I guarantee productivity goes up.
Well, because he's not going to deal with it. That's the rule. You come to work here, cell phone goes in the basket. Done. You get a break, you get your cell phone. You go to lunch, get your cell phone. You leave home, get your cell phone. Otherwise, it stays in the basket. And the reason for that is it stops productivity at work. And people are always running around. And let me explain something to you. When you're at work and you decide to talk to a coworker, and the boss can't see you, or you decide to get on your telephone, and now you got 2 or 3 people having a little chit-chat during office hours.
Yeah.
Okay? And they're all getting paid well, but nobody's doing anything. At that point, you are now stealing from your employer.
Yeah, you are.
I'm letting you know that. You're stealing. Just, if you're going to do that stuff, save it for the break. Save it for the time off of work, you know, whatever. But don't do it during office hours when someone's paying you to do something.
Well, yeah.
Very important. Now, number two, a lot of these social media people come in now and they start making all these stupid claims. They're a bunch of idiots. That's what exactly TikTok and, you know, has done, and that's what Instagram
does. Everybody now has the ability to build and get a platform for a voice to be heard. The problem is a lot of people, and I'm going to say this as nice as I can, a lot of people want to act like they have knowledge on a particular topic, but they're complete idiots. And now the idiot has a microphone, and that idiot got a microphone that ended up getting 10,000 views on TikTok because they did something really stupid, but it got a platform. And now they suddenly think they're this elevated position in society, that they're this individual that has this esteemed with this great responsibility to speak their mind. The problem is they're stupid in a box of rocks, and they have no knowledge or experience in anything. And they're 18, 19, 20 years old. Their brain hasn't developed, and now they suddenly go, I'm an influencer. I have 10 million followers. Listen to what I have to say. Actually, buy my course for $5,000, and I'll show you how you can also lease a car with four other people and have a $5,000 a month payment you can't afford it, and it gets basically repo in 5 years or 5 months. But listen to me, and I'll show you what to do. They're idiots. Don't listen to them. Don't follow them. My gosh, don't do anything they tell you to do.
Perfect example, when we got that Uber driver in St. Louis.
Oh, my gosh.
A dumber human being I've never listened to in my entire life. Finally, I told him, you have to be quiet.
But the contradictory, and that's where you got to look, is when people completely contradict what they say, especially when they're contradicting what they're saying within a period of 5 minutes.
I have never met somebody that stupid in my entire life. And I'm not, I am picking on him. He's an idiot. And that's why he basically can't maintain a job. And the fact that Uber gave a position, his car was filthy.
I gave him a one star.
Awful. Now, also, let me say this too. These people are getting out there now that are being paid by the Republican Party, being paid by, you know, the Democrats.
Israel.
Yeah. And they're coming in and saying that Donald Trump did the right thing by attacking Iran because they had 60 pounds of enriched uranium. Don't believe that crap. And somebody sent me this link. And this is a real pretty woman she's talking, and she's gorgeous, about how great Donald Trump is and how nobody else would basically do anything about Iran, and that Donald Trump is the only one that was brave. And she's going off and off and off and off how wonderful he is. And I thought to myself, this is pure propaganda.
Yeah,
it's just like Austin said, they speak with a confidence that's generally associated with ignorance. However, these people speak with a confidence associated with the fact they're being paid to say what they're saying.
See, here's the difference, and here's what's changed in the last 20 years, okay? Gosh, is that,
be careful.
I don't want to be an ass. I'm trying to be nice right now. Back 20 years ago in the 90s and early 2000s, if you really had no knowledge on a topic, if you were really kind of stupid and uneducated on a topic, nobody listened to you. The only way you got a voice out was you basically had to have knowledge on a topic. Like, he was extremely knowledgeable in his background, his pedigree, and everything he did, and started talking about health and nutrition. People listened, and he got an audience because he was unbelievably smart and ahead of the curve before anybody else was. That's the way you got topics out, and that's the way you got a position where people listen. Nobody listened to you were an idiot. Everybody's like, that's the village idiot. Don't listen to him. Now, all the village idiots have 10 million subscribers on TikTok because they do stupid stuff, and the rest of society is continuing to get stupider and stupider and stupider, putting the village idiot as the pinnacle of stupidity in the society. Now, he's the knowledge base everybody listens to. And these individuals now, these tech groups and basically these other countries and CIA, they've learned how to capitalize on this. And what they do is they give these people elevated positions to talk and put information out there. And then they say, well, he knows what he's talking about. He's an influencer. And then if anybody says anything contrary, you suddenly don't know what you're talking about because he has more Instagram followers than you. That's how they're manipulating the young minds, and that's why I say be careful what your kids are watching and what they're being exposed to, because it is rotting their brain.
I remember years ago, I was on vacation with Sharon, and we were someplace. I think we were in Greece, in Athens or whatever, and somebody started talking to me about what I did. It was a younger person, and I said I was giving her some information, and she goes, well, how many Instagram followers do you have?
There you go. Yep.
No,
that's been the degree of how popularity and knowledge has been measured now in this day and age. Just being honest with you. Well, I've got 20 million followers. Well, I'm more important than you, and I know more than you. Well, I've got 100 million followers. well, you know more than me. I'm going to follow you.
By the way, you can buy fake followers.
Yeah, on top of that, all you got to do is get a contract with the Israeli government, and they'll pay you $7,000 to tell you how great IDF is, and they'll push your algorithm up to 100 million followers. Don't believe me? Talk to some tech firms that work in the AI industry. It's that easy now, and it's happening right in front of everybody's noses, and nobody even realizes it's happening.
Oh, by the way, sad story. Over in Spring Hill, about an hour drive away from here, murder-suicide. Friends are mourning a mother killed by her deputy ex-boyfriend. Got into a giant fight over a TV set.
That's not something worth dying for.
First of all, I don't believe that. I believe the TV set was brought up, but I believe it escalated. And, yeah. You know, I'm going to say something to you. Don't try to convince people who are stupid that you're right. Don't waste your energy.
That is an incredibly important tip right there.
No. If they say that...
It will make you get unbelievably angry.
If they tell you that elephants can fly, just say, great, I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
Walk away. And you're like, well, what do you mean? Just tell them you're happy for them. They sprout little wings, they fly around. I'm happy for you, whatever you want. I don't have to convince you of this. You believe that? You're delusional, but I'm not going to even tell you that. I don't want to be in conflict. Why am I going to give you my energy? Why am I going to let you plug into me and drain me? I'm not going to try to convince an idiot of anything. It's like, that's finally, I told that guy in that Uber thing, please stop talking to me.
No, you did. It was funny because there was no reasoning skills. So you can't expect somebody with no reasoning skills that's stuck on stupid gear. They can't get to first. They can't clutch in the first.
They're stuck
in stupid gear. And it won't come out. The gears are jammed. You'll spend all day arguing them and go, there's 300 different articles right here that are showing about all the adverse events of different shot schedules. I don't believe you. I need 300 more. You haven't even looked at the 300 I just gave you. It doesn't matter.
I had that happen.
Yeah, don't believe you. Well, it's probably, okay, let's get on the topic of, probably shouldn't drink this soda right now. It's got high fructose corn syrup that it's been directly linked to non-alcoholic fatty liver. It's directly linked. I don't believe you. I need to drink my soda. They're going to do everything contrary to what you say just to be in disagreement because they're stuck in stupid. Don't waste your time with that. Now, I ran the clock down. Here's an article I'm going to cover. Give me camera 4. I'm going to cover this next tomorrow. 10 things to avoid if you're determined to lose weight. This has got some really interesting stuff in it. I don't have time to start on it, though, so stay tuned up for tomorrow.
Whoa,
on this.
The top 10 foods never to eat to lose weight.
Well, no, it's not just foods. It's also behaviors.
Whoa.
So this is going to be
cool
tomorrow. I'm going to go into detail on it. I started on it today. I didn't finish a lot of it, so I'm going to cover it tomorrow. Also, too, be sure to check out the product of the week. I checked it earlier today, and it looks like, where was it at here? Submitted on here. I think it was the Cortisol Buster, the one I clicked. I vote. I love the Cortisol Buster. Yes, it won. It was back in between Zinc and Cortisol Buster the last day or two, and Cortisol Buster took off last night. And so that's going to be going on sale in a couple hours. That is our product that is really, really good for high-stress individuals. If you've got a job, if you've got business, if you have a lot of times where you're trying to get more sleep, if you've got kids, especially if you have a feral child, and he's I'm just kidding. I love Stetson. He's great. He's just
the Kraken.
He's really, really developed fast, and he's got a really high IQ, and the kid just wants to ask me how everything operates now.
At 2.
Yeah, it's like, what is this? What is this? And I explain to him, and he's like, what is this now? I'm like, okay, well, I just finished answering that one. The problem is here, it's not a problem. After I tell him and explains it, he understands it. He doesn't have to ask me again. He just keeps asking me other stuff, and then some will get brought up with that. And he's like, I don't know this. That's why I told you it did that. I'm like, how did you remember that? Puts this on the counter. I'm like, well, I told you those go together 5 days ago, and you're putting them back together again. It's kind of odd. I don't really know what to do with him. He's a lot.
By the way, tomorrow we're also going to cover about no Fourth Amendment in American airport search and seizure. Man came in, said, I'm not doing anything wrong. Give me your cell phone. Unlock it. We're going to look at your cell phone.
No,
I'm going to read it to you tomorrow. And they unlocked it, put the wrong code in, and it erased itself. He got arrested. The cell phone went blank.
Oh, God.
So that means he lost all his data, too. So now they're saying, no Fourth Amendment American airports? That's in court. We're covering it tomorrow.
Wow.
Hey, love you guys. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus all the days of your life, for he is the author, he is the finisher, he is the perfecter of our faith. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. This is the day the Lord hath made, and
that's
I will
right.
rejoice, and I will be glad in it. Always keep your hearts and minds in Christ, because quite frankly, he's your only hope, period.
Guys, be sure on the products that you love, Give us reviews on them. Let other people know what they did for you positive. Let us know what they did for you positive. Magnesium Brain Food, this is one of the top products we have. 5 stars all across the board. Great reviews on it. I love seeing it, and I love hearing different stuff. Like a long time ago, somebody said it would help with their tinnitus. Not making a claim on it, but I never even heard that before. So I had multiple customers tell me that review. Thank you for the support. Let me know if you need anything. Healthmasters.com. Thank you for staying with us and making us your number one supplement company, because we don't sell out. We never will. I appreciate you guys. Talk to you later.
Love you guys.